webcasting to the world live the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, October 21st, 2009. The only last night, or I should say last webcast, of the fall pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution 2009 EVA. Welcome in on this midweek edition of GKO, helping you over the hump with the gospel, the good news of God's love and acceptance and righteousness for everybody. Everybody. I like that. Even Sean O'Halloran, ladies and gentlemen, is included in the cleansing action of the cross of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Speaking of beautiful things, on this third pledge drive evening for the autumn of '09, let's welcome in the beautiful human, also the president and founder and most holy high reverend of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams from Houston, Texas. Michael.
Good evening, Glenn.
How art thou?
You know, I art wonderful. It has been a really great day here in Houston. Bit overcast, but believe me, everyone in this part of Texas is enjoying about a 30-day early cooling down period here for Texas. And believe me, that is a nice, very, very, very nice break, that's for sure. So yeah,
well, I know how all the beautiful humans from around the globe look forward to the weather update from Houston each week. So it is nice to hear that the weather has broken.
Yeah, you know, we've had about, we had our rainy spell, which that was wonderful because it's been in a drought for 3 years.
Right.
And it rained and rained and rained for about 3 weeks, and of course it was cooler just because of that. But then right after that, oh my gosh, it's just been just absolutely, absolutely marvelous here, so... I now know, in the middle of the summer I was wondering, why do I live here? but right now I'm getting a little bit better understanding of why I am in Houston. So, yes, that's the weather report from Houston, Texas.
And now back to the news desk. Well, the news, ladies and gentlemen, is that we are in night number 3 of, as far as the webcast is concerned. The 14th night of the fall pledge drive of the Gospel Revolution. And we've got some good news to report. We sent out a post earlier today that had reported that we had 14 people thus far having given $1,504.90 towards our 21-day goal of 15 grand. And we also reported that we've had gifts or pledges thus far ranging from $1 to $300, which totaled $1,504.90. Excuse me. And since that time, we've had 3 additional gifts come in, which we really appreciate, whether they be because of our appeal or not. We had a $10 donation come in from Dale Van Sickle of beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana, in Hoosier country.
Yay, Dale.
And then we had Victor Brennan of beautiful Calgary, Alberta, that chimed in with $500.
Yay, Vic.
And then Robert Dixon of beautiful Galston, Australia, with a $271.25 gift in U.S. dollars. I don't know what that comes out in Australian dollars. Australia has dollars, right?
Yeah. That's not kangaroo dollars, though, right?
No, that's USD, it says.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So that's a beautiful
yes,
thing.
Yes, the Australian is a dollar. And, I'm not sure what the difference is. On that between
well, maybe Sean can look that up as he's waiting to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. Look up the exchange rate, Sean, please, of the U.S. dollar versus the Australian dollar. We would be interested in knowing that. But what we are very happy to report is that we are at 17 people that have donated to this cause. That sets a record.
Wow.
And we want to at least double that this evening. And we're just getting going here on the third webcast of the Fall Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. We're at $2,286.15, $2,286.15 on our way to $15,000, which will help pay the bills for the next 3 months of the Gospel Revolution, Mike Williams Ministries, and also contribute towards the expense of the coming Gospel Revolution Convention in beautiful Houston, Texas, if there's no other reason than to get the weather updates from Michael every week. It's to know for those from around the world that are coming to Houston what we are looking forward to weather-wise. But you can go to the GospelRevolution.com webpage, and right at the top, if you just click on the information about the convention, there's still plenty of time to come. There's rooms. The people at the Marriott North at Greenpoint have been very gracious. They were great hosts last year, and there's still room for you. So just go onto the website, and you can get information about the convention, or you can call Michael directly at his home number at 281-955-1910. But our focus tonight, we will talk about the convention, but our focus tonight is the Fall Pledge Drive as we endeavor to raise this $15,000. We know we can do it. We've got 7 days, and for those of you that are listening live, we need to hear from you because your participation by calling us really spurs people on. It really encourages people. It spurs the conversation on. It's inspiring. If you're listening live right now, and it's a little after 9 o'clock Eastern time in the United States of America, we are asking you to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-436-3260. That is the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive toll-free hotline, 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran, besides looking up the exchange rate between the U.S. and Australian dollar, is waiting to take your call at 1-800-436-3260. We always need somebody to get us off to a fast start. You know that the last two webcasts, we've had great participation. I think, Michael, last week we may have had the most participation we have ever had during a pledge drive. I think we had five people call and not only donate money, but really participate with the concepts and information and inspiration, really provoking a lot of thought and discussion. And that's why it's so important for people to participate.
Oh, absolutely. The I've heard several comments from the conversation. And if nobody had any comments from the phone calls, believe me, they're so encouraging to me. You just wouldn't believe it. And regardless of what stage, I mean, my goodness, we had people calling in who had only been listening in and understanding the gospel that we preach and share with the world for just the last 2 or 3 months. And
right, from Washington State.
Yes. And so then, and then people from every station of their progress and where they are in growing in the gospel and what that means to them. The level of honesty and just integrity that were in these people's voices, our caller from Florida who let us know that he was giving and he was giving consistently and it had not changed his finances at all. And I mean, you just gotta love that. And I remember, a couple of months, 2 or 3 months back, we had someone call and let us know they were going to have to stop giving because they were not in a position to. And but the freedom that they had to be able to do that is it, that is what has struck me so in both of those situations, that, you know, then in evangelical Christianity, you're trained that you have nothing to say or a, quote, a testimony, unless you've got something to say that it says, I did this and God did that. And but to just be real and to just say, you know, I'm really glad to be able to be giving, X amount a month to be able to help this cause. It's not because I didn't give it to try to get something back. And the fact of it is, I'm not getting anything back, but still very, very happy to support the cause. So it is, and we're asking for that again tonight. Is just the participation. Regardless, it's always wonderful to hear from all of the folks that have been affected. If we did hear from all the folks whose lives have been totally revolutionized, we would not be able to get off the phone for many a day. That's for sure. With one phone call right after the other, we would not be able to get off of the phone at all. But we're just wanting some folks to call in tonight to help this hour and a half be something that's really enjoyable for everyone.
Even if we've heard from you recently, we'd love to hear from you again. 1-800-436-3260 is the number to call. 1-800-436-3260. We also want to thank very much David Johnson, who we've spoken about before, who's been just aggressively consistent with his giving regardless of the month, regardless of the amount, I should say. He gave last week $3 via PayPal. And then we received a $3.60 donation from David Johnson, which we really appreciate. Excuse me, $3.70. And on top of that, last week, in between the webcast, we received a $100 gift from the very lovely and talented John Clark of Victorville, California. $100 from John Clark of Victorville, which we added into the total, which brings us to the total that I announced before, but I just knocked it off my calculator because I was calculating the Australian to U.S. dollar exchange rate that Sean had just sent, being the dutiful engineer, producer, and dollar exchange coordinator that he is. One U.S. dollar, Michael, equals 1.0738831 Australian dollars.
Wow, it's very close right now.
Very close.
Yeah.
It is just approaching springtime. It is springtime in Australia right now.
Yes, it is springtime in Australia.
But thank you very much, Bob Dixon from Australia, for a nice gift. For gifts of $100 or more, beautiful humans, whether they be in a one-time gift or in monthly giving, like, for example, if you pledge $10 a month and go on the website and make that pledge, you can do that. And it's just automatically received each month. You only have to do it once. But for gifts totaling $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the brand new CD series that Michael did in Kelowna, Canada. That's in British Columbia, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Kelowna, the beautiful desert valley of Kelowna. Most people are not used to hearing desert and Canada in one sentence, but it is.
In Kelowna, Canada, Ministry Bringing Relief. That's the three CD series that you will receive for gifts of $100 or more. And, Michael, why don't you go into a little bit of detail as we wait to hear from our first call tonight at 1-800-436-3260. Pick up the phone. Let us hear from you right now. 1-800-436-3260. Why don't you go into a little bit of detail about what your inspiration was and the basis of the teaching on what actual ministry is all about?
Well, one of my most basic inspirations always is to recapture terminology in the Christian community and put it in its proper setting and its and to bring its understanding to something that is closer to reality and closer to truth. We've had so many things. I mean, during the process, one of the things that I really, really enjoy doing is that very thing. Instead of coming up with a new terminology, I like recapturing the terminology, biblical terminology, and looking at it in context or in its Greek or Hebrew. And recapturing it away from the distorted concepts that evangelical Christianity has given it. And ministry is one of those extremely distorted concepts that have been perpetrated as far as where people's understanding is concerned. In evangelical Christianity, we have been taught, and especially the circles that I was in, and even more so in others. I mean, you talk about ministry in other religions, and you think of, robes and people in distinguished positions, and even in the Word of Faith movement, which I was very much a part of, being in the ministry was certainly an elevated title for sure. Separated you from people. It didn't make you one of the people. It certainly was a separating thing. And the issue of also being in the ministry, it having to be some great spiritual gift. Now, I believe that there are spiritual gifts, but the term ministry has nothing to do with whether or not you're operating in, quote, one of the gifts of the Spirit or not. And so as I started looking into it, I saw that the word ministry in one of its most basic definitions meant bringing relief. And that term just settled in my heart so completely. So what we did is go back through all of the preconceived notions about ministry and look at it in the with the definition of just simply that it's something that brings relief. If you can bring relief to another human being, another group of people, whether it's through words, through actions, deeds, smile, hugs, touch, whatever it is, to bring relief is ministry. And so it really helped to encourage people to do the everyday things instead of feeling that they're not really accomplishing anything anyway. So many times people don't do what they can do because we've elevated the term ministry to such a height that we feel that the everyday person just doesn't have the value to be able to go out and do things that are worthy of such a title for sure as ministry. And sometimes because of that, we are placed into a position of inactivity in our lives as far as reaching out to others. So it was very interesting to take the three sessions and cover this subject and see that terminology of ministry and being in ministry and all that brought to such a different perspective. Because if you're bringing relief, you are ministering. And the fact of it is, we are all, quote, in the ministry, applying the terms as they are used, the term being in the ministry. So in the ministry actually means everyone, every human being on this planet is in the ministry, and we can minister, everyone can minister on a daily basis. If it's bringing relief, it's ministry. Whether it is buying someone a meal that is hungry, simply giving encouragement, just being a help wherever we can be a help. That is
ministry. All right, well, let me challenge you a little bit. Because as we've noted many times on this webcast and during the teaching times, the so-called healing ministers or the divine healings that take place, especially in the charismatic and word of faith movement, are always, always healings that cannot be observed.
Right.
Every so often somebody will have an x-ray of something that they say was there and now isn't there. And miracles like that, as we've also pointed out, do happen, where there's no explanation. But they're always pain that disappeared, arthritis that's gone, hearing that, but nobody's, no amputee of the Iraqi war gets a new limb in any of these meetings. But nonetheless, people do receive, at the very least, temporary relief.
Absolutely.
At some of these meetings. So could one then argue, based on that definition, that the Benny Hinns of the world do bring relief and are engaged in ministry?
Well, I think the issue is, are they really bringing relief? To truly bring relief to a situation is one thing, but to have people in a state of mind to where that they are convinced that they are getting relief that they truly are not getting, I'm not sure would classify in the same category. However, if someone is in pain, and whether it is by some psychological means desperate need to think that something has happened or to believe. I know I've been in pain before, and I welcome any moment of relief that I could possibly get, that is for sure.
Although we've talked about this before, why is it that there are people who do get at least temporary relief from their pain or their ailments in some of these meetings, do you think? From a psychological basis, what happens?
Well, it's called endorphins. I mean, it's not a real complicated thing. When you get up in front of 10,000 people, believe me, you feel no pain. A lot of people who are in the entertainment business, the reason that they become addicted to the stage and stage becomes their home is because it's where they find relief. They find relief from having to face their problems. They find relief from the reality of life. And believe me, it is not necessary to try to have to verify the fact that there is a psychological effect, even on the issue of pain, when you are in a position to where that you're in a crowd, when you are in front of people, if it is producing an open level that can numb the pain. So it's a very scientific thing that's happening. It is psychological, but the psychological can trigger those mechanisms that do cause pain to go away. So you know, it'd be great if we could figure out a way to keep those chemical levels at such a point where that they themselves would take away pain on a permanent basis. You know, other people claim to be able to do that. There's no reason for me to doubt that there are some who can bring the chemical levels that they need by emotional states of being to be able to eliminate pain during certain situations. I don't doubt that can happen at all. So I think the very same thing happens in a Benny Hinn meeting or wherever. Believe me, even as I was sharing my ex-gay testimony, even if I was absolutely overwhelmed with the reality that this was not true, before I got up and before Norval told me it was time to share my testimony, regardless of what I felt or thought or about whether or not I was free or not, when I would get up there, Glenn, and start sharing, and I would share the story, and I would just be just getting through the story, somewhere through the middle of the story, I started believing that it was true. I certainly wasn't having homosexual thoughts, but I wasn't having heterosexual thoughts either. There was just the energy of being up in front of people that there is a power to that that is greatly underestimated, I think, by all of us. To be in a crowd, to be in a situation like that, to be on a stage in front of people, it is it's altering. It is your current state. It alters you from your current state of being, whatever that current state of being is. And
right,
I think
just
that
being a part of a crowd that is excited about the same thing.
Oh yeah,
and
you don't have to be on the
jacked
stage,
jacked up by the music and the whole atmosphere,
yeah.
And perhaps the charisma of the leader can also, it really speaks to the power of being part of a group and knowing any identity with a group and the whole concept of being accepted, how powerful that is, regardless
oh, absolutely.
Of what the circumstance is. I mean, my goodness, I mean, imagine the power that was exhibited in a situation like Jonestown when Jim Jones got all those people to commit suicide down there in Guyana, and just how incredible that must have been. Tell the folks, Michael, about your experience with anxiety and panic attacks and what would happen to you prior to getting up on stage and behind the pulpit, and then what would happen once you got up there?
Well, yeah, that also is a very powerful example of that very thing, is that the panic attacks. I've always had panic attacks. I still have panic attacks. I am very grateful that they are not the intensity that I used to have. Nor the frequency of situations that changed drastically for me over the last few years, actually. But it was that every time, each and every time, that I had to get up in front of a crowd, the massive panic attacks, the need to just run rather than get up on that platform was just overwhelming. But once I was able to traverse the distance from wherever my seat was up to the podium, and my first few words, I may be have been incapable of even telling you what those words were because of the drastic panic attack that I was in. But it didn't take long until that was all over with, you know. And the odd thing was that the experience never lessened the panic attacks. They were just always there. But so it is mind altering to be in a situation where other people are concerned, and to get around the things and the social disorders that so many people have. For whatever reasons, my siblings believe it was because of where we were raised and the lack of social interaction as children with other beings was the problem. But I do acknowledge the power of feeling that you're one with the people that are around you, which again, Glenn, that's why I feel so compelled to share the gospel, is because when you have that camaraderie around you, the feeling of oneness is such a powerful potion, if you will, that we need it. We can't say, well, you know, I don't want to be one of those who is, caught up with the crowd. There is a crowd, though, that we do need to get caught up with, and that is the crowd that is called righteous and holy and perfect in the eyes of God. And that crowd is the entire planet, the entire human race. And that association with one another and identification of unity on that level, I am still convinced, has the power to influence this world to become a much better place than what we know it to be.
This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. This is the third night of the webcast dedicated to the fall pledge drive for 2009 for the Gospel Revolution. And we're asking you to be a part of this effort, very much so. We need your help. And we are asking, we take three shows a quarter is all we do, and we take about a half an hour in each show each night for the three programs to specifically dedicate towards asking you to support this thing financially, because frankly it costs money to put this show on, to produce the website, for all the equipment, for the duplicating materials, for the organization, and we have not even broken even yet through all these many years of doing this, and we are trying to head towards that. And it's about 30 minutes into the webcast, and we have not heard from anybody yet on the telephone. If you are listening right now, I mean, we are coming to you live, and it's a little after 9:30 on the East Coast of the United States of America. We're asking you to call us.
Yeah.
We are asking you specifically to pick up the phone and let us know that you're hearing us, and we want to hear your insight and your comments and your heart tonight at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We are endeavoring to raise $15,000, which is significantly less, frankly, than we've asked in recent times, because we're aware of what the economic pressures are for everybody, and you know, we've lowered our expectations, frankly. It's not a question of faith. We've got all the faith in the world through Christ. It's his faith, not our faith. But it's got nothing to do with the fact that we need finances to help propagate the gospel revolution. For gifts of $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the 3-CD series Ministry Bringing Relief that Michael taught in Canada in the last several months, and you will get that in your home as our thank you. Whether it be a one-time gift of $100 or more, or pledges totaling $100 or more, you will receive that thank you CD. But listen, folks, we are asking for the most amount of participation possible. The record that we had prior to this webcast was, or this pledge drive, was 16 participants that donated and pledged a total of $25,000. Now we're asking for $15,000. We had 16 people for that $25,000, and now we've had 17 people that has gotten us over a little over $2,200. But we need to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran is waiting in studio in Tampa Bay, Florida. Michael is in Houston. Where are you? We want to hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. Michael, why don't you tell the beautiful humans why we feel comfortable asking quarterly the way we do for their financial help?
Well, I feel completely comfortable in doing that, number one, because of the quality of the message and the impact of the message in people's lives. And Glenn, one thing I want to make clear is that we're not appealing to people to give and somehow repay what they should do because they have been helped so much. Because quite frankly, all of those who do contribute, and even those that don't, would the first thing that they would tell you about contributing to the effort of sharing the gospel as we preach it, the one thing that they would tell you is that they could never repay. They don't have the funds, and even if they had the funds, they know that money will not repay what they have received. So we're just not appealing to people to show their appreciation. If now you can give a token of appreciation, a lot of people do enjoy doing that, but they know, and we know, it's just a token. I know what the gospel does. I know what coming into understanding of absolute freedom is out of the church community and out of the religious community. I know what that is. If I worked 10 lifetimes and contributed every penny that I ever had coming in toward the gospel, there is nothing that can repay that. Not to the person who shared, who would have shared it with me, which I'm one of those that nobody shared the gospel with me. I had to find it, and very glad to share it myself. But the thing that we're appealing to people for is to help us to give the same experience to others who so desperately need it around the world. Don't give trying to, in some effect, to pay back what you have received, because it just isn't possible. You know it, and I know it. The thing that we're asking for, and the thing that I'm comfortable in asking for, is for everyone to participate in some way to be able to reach out to other people so that others can hear the gospel, so that we can get out to other places and be able to share and continue and be free to go out and to be able to do that. So that is what gives me great comfort in being able to ask for people's support, is because I know that there are so many people out there that need to hear this message of the gospel, as compared to, and yes, I do have the audacity to say, they need to hear this gospel as compared to, quote, the other gospel that is coming out of the church, which I believe Paul would have said, which is not a gospel at all.
Or he would have said it was a false gospel.
Yes.
Because it's not good news, ladies and gentlemen. If there's any bad news in the gospel, it's not the gospel, because there's only good news in what we teach and what we believe that Christ procured on the cross over 2,000 years ago. I was listening to John Hagee yesterday, and he was teaching on guilt, and it infuriated me. First of all, he said that a man came to him and asked for prayer on a particular issue, and John Hagee said sarcastically to his congregation, "Wouldn't you just like to know what he came and asked me for prayer for?" And of course, tempting everybody with gossip and all kinds of rumor mongering that they would be tempted by. Everybody laughed. And then he said that when the man asked him for prayer, that he wanted deliverance from God, he said, "I will not pray." He was screaming with his jowls flaring. He said, "I will not pray for you." He said, "If you know it's wrong, stop doing it." And then he talked about how that guilt, when you experience guilt, between you and God, that it was a gift from God, and that we should thank God for guilt.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, this guy is just laying it out perfect. He's just setting it up on a tee for us. Because guilt is the most counterproductive, most destructive emotion that a human being can experience. And, Michael, when somebody operates out of guilt and is motivated by guilt, that is what causes them. That's what causes them to do aberrant things and causes them to use poor judgment.
Yes.
And do destructive things. And here's a man that is probably 100 pounds or more overweight, clearly guilty of gluttony on international television day after day, week after week, and he is condemning people for other behavior, and not only other behavior, but gluttony itself. I've heard him condemn gluttony.
Yeah.
As he is clearly guilty of it of himself. And he is condemning people to not coming into an understanding of the purity and the love of God and the righteousness of God that has already been delivered to them through the blood of Christ. He should be condemned, not eternally, because we know that John Hagee and the other purveyors of this kind of crap are righteous and perfect in the sight of God. But Paul said that they should be accursed.
Absolutely. And, to try to make a comment, I mean, the one thing that is glaringly noticeable is that he didn't quote any Bible verses out of context to be able to make such a ridiculous statement that guilt is a tool that God uses. Certainly has not read Paul's teachings whatsoever. Certainly has not even listened to the conclusions of psychology and psychiatry of the horrible damaging effects and damning effects of guiltiness, especially in relationship to God, that does cause destructive and self-destructive behavior. Guilt is not a tool of God. Guilt is the tool that drives people to self-destruction and to the destruction of others. It is, of all the things that could be said about the gospel, that is right at the top with many other very ridiculous things that the evangelical community puts out, and that is that guilt is a tool of God. The only verses they could even take out of context is the statements about the Holy Spirit being sent to us to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But the term convict simply means to convince. It certainly has no connotation of guilt to it. And he said that the Holy Spirit has been sent to us to. So what does it mean that the Holy Spirit's here to convict us of sin? He's here to convince us of sin. But don't forget, he's here to convince us of righteousness, and he's sent to convince us of judgment also. And when he says about that the Holy Spirit has been sent to convince us of judgment, he says because Satan has already been judged. So even the judgment, he's not talking about a future judgment. He's not talking about a future coming righteousness. He's not talking about a future sin or a present sin. Everything that the Holy Spirit is described as there in, I believe it's in the book of John, as having the power to convince us of, is of righteousness of God, and that is to convince us that we are righteous. Judgment, because judgment has already come and gone, and sin, because it's already come and gone. That is what the Holy Spirit is trying to convince us about sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Exactly, and an accurate understanding of what sin actually is.
Absolutely.
That sin is not a dirty thought or sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That sin was a condition that the human race found themselves in prior to the cross because of the sin of Adam.
Yes.
The separation from God. Excuse me, it was a condition. And now we are righteous. So he's here to convince us or convict us that we are righteous and of judgment. The judgment, as Michael said, that Satan had been judged, but also the judgment that came upon Christ. Yes. This is where the Holy Spirit, the great teacher, brings people, if they'll hang in there long enough and if they're exposed to the truth of the gospel long enough, that you will be convinced that the sin that Jesus was sent for was the condition, the separation from God that happened due to the actions of one man, Adam, but then due to the actions of another man, the second Adam, the last Adam, if you will, Jesus Christ, salvation, Yeshua himself, that you were brought into righteousness and that he was made judgment for us all. 1-800-436-3260. That's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. That's the gospel. 1-800-436-3260. And we do have a call online. We have Mary Karasik. Mary, am I pronouncing your last name right? Okay, Sean. That was Sean O'Halloran, ladies and gentlemen.
He is retrieving Mary.
We will get her back. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Sorry, I disconnected myself. I had to call back.
Sorry, how do you pronounce your last name?
Myself.
My last name is pronounced Karasik.
Karasik. And where
Not
are you calling
easy...
from?
I'm calling from Villarica, Georgia.
Villarica, where is that?
It's about probably about 26 miles west of Atlanta.
Oh, right on.
Yes.
Been through there many a time.
Yeah, it's nice. Yes, it's nice. We like it. We finally had some sunshine. We've had a lot of flooding a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't too nice, but it's cleared up and it's really nice now. So.
Well, you guys have been in a similar drought situation for many moons, but that has turned around as well, as Michael was describing the condition in Houston.
Yeah, it has. We had several summers where it just didn't rain. You know, we were on water restrictions and rationing, but then we've had a lot of rain.
Now you can use all the water you want.
One night. Yeah, more than we needed, actually.
It's nice
so,
to have water.
What's your experience with Gospel Mary and Gospel Revolution?
Well, I was raised Catholic, and I don't regret that because I think it's brought me to where I am today.
Absolutely.
I started listening to Mike. Oh my gosh, it's been a long, long time, and I can't even remember. I guess it's probably in the mid 90s, maybe 96. I guess that's more towards the later 90s. And after I left the Catholic Church, not the church, I left religion, I guess I should say. When I left religion, I got into, started going to a Word of Faith church where I met a wonderful man named John Hogan, which I know Mike knows, or knew very well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, John Hogan, he passed away several years ago, about 3 years ago now.
Yes, he did.
Now, but, yeah. And I met John and Annette Hogan at Evangelistic Center in Rahway, New Jersey. And the pastor that we had at that church was, it was Word of Faith, and it was all name it, claim it, and that. But he never really preached the law. I know that sounds weird. I mean, he never said, I'm contradicting myself, but I don't know. I never heard.
Yeah, if it was name it and claim it, it was legalism. But we understand what you
mean.
Yeah,
I guess that's true. You know, and I think that we kind of didn't realize at the time that it was legalistic, I guess is what I'm saying. And then when we stood back and got away from it, Annette and I would sit there and we'd say, you know what, it was very legalistic because he was saying all the things, oh, you should do this three times and do this three times and every, or whatever. So then I left there after that pastor, he had passed away, and then John started his church. And I was at the house one day, and he just said, you know, I have some tapes you really have to listen to. This guy is Mike Williams, and he's awesome. And John always taught the righteousness of God. He always did it. He would teach on Sunday nights, and I would go, and I was just like a sponge. I would just, like, suck everything in, everything he had to say. And so I started listening to Mike, and I listened to him just about every morning. I still have some of his older tapes, which I know he doesn't, you know, a lot of those things you kind of don't, you know, teach like you must be born again anymore. But one thing I have to say, my son is married now and living in Illinois. He's going to grad school. But when he was in Christian school from 5th to 12th grade, and I was taking him to school. I guess he was probably in 9th grade. We were on our way to school one morning, and, you know, he was always, we went to Word of, John had his church, Word of Grace in New Jersey. And we were riding to school one morning, and he says, hey, Mom, he says, you know, I know that Jesus paid it all. He nailed everything to the cross, and we're free, and we've been free from the law. And he says, but this, I think this was like in 2000, 2001. He says, if we have to be born again, isn't that a law? You know, and I'm like, he really, like, threw me, and I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, well, gee, and he really screwed me. And this is before I had bought Mike's series on You Must Be Born Again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of, you know, it really made me think, and I was thinking, here, this kid, you know, I don't think he even listens half the time to what I say. And, you know, I play the tape, we're playing the tapes in the car, and I'm like, wow, he's really listening. So it was pretty interesting. But with the gospel for me, one of the biggest things for me is when I first, the term saved, I mean, I don't know if I even use that term anymore, but for me, but when I first, I guess, had a deeper understanding with the Lord is, I never felt that I had the peace, you know, had God's peace. And I've realized listening to Mike over the years that, you know, I always thought the peace was with everybody else. And I realized that it's God made peace through his son for me,
yeah.
You know, that I have that peace. And that has just been so wonderful for me, that because I was worried about that. And another thing that has... you know, Mike always talks about the judgment. You know, you really, when you really get into the grace of God and righteousness and the grace of and the gospel of peace, is you kind of, not kind of, but you, you know, you judgment is just gone. And I mean, that's, I know that comes with time, because sometimes I think, oh wow, it's gone, but then again, you know, it pops up, it's
sure
again.
Does.
But I know that I was sitting in the mall near my house a couple years ago, and a lot of people of different faiths, you know, work in the mall and everything. And I was just sitting there, you know, just having a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and there were these people walking by. And it's just like, I know everybody's had those moments where God, you know, just speaks to your heart. And it's just like, I was looking at these people, and the Lord is going, you know, this person's been forgiven, and he's forgiven, and this person's forgiven. It was like, and he was just showing me that everyone's forgiven, you know, whether they, you know, everyone has been forgiven. And, you know, forgive yourself, and everyone's been forgiven, and I have forgiven the whole world. And, you know, 10 years ago, I would never even have thought that. And this is just something that he, you know, all these just little nuggets that he just keeps pouring on. And I just know that it's, my heart's just open because of, you know, because of what I learned from just listening to Mike, that he just gives perspective and just lets me see things. And just that my heart can, you know, just see things that it, you know, sometimes I'll listen to the same thing, sometimes I'll listen to it the sixth time, and it's like, wow, I didn't hear that, I was listening to this last week, I didn't hear this, and it just opens up something else, you know, and you go, wow. So, okay, I know I've talked too much.
No, keep talking.
We are enjoying it very much.
So, but I've listened the last couple of weeks, and sometimes it's hard for me to get on here live, and I try to, you know, as much as I can. And so many times it's like, oh, you know, I've got to get on there and say hello, and I've got to get on there, and I need to support and everything, because I do get so much. And I have, I mean, what I do is, because when I do, get a series that I've ordered. When I do get it, I copy it because some of my friends, like Annette in New Jersey, John's wife, she doesn't have a CD player. She doesn't know how to work it, so I copy everything on a tape and send it to her. I just send her the tapes from your CD because she doesn't have a. So and that's what I try to do. And even when I'm at my office, you know, there's a lot of everybody in my office goes to church, and everybody is the Wednesday, Sunday crowd, and that's fine. And when I can, I mean, I don't feel like, oh, I better say something. I have to say something. And if I feel like it's going to, you know, lift somebody up, I always say, Lord, let me just be a blessing and just an encouragement, because that's what I'm supposed to do, is just encourage people and lift people up, because that's what the gospel is. It's good news, you know. It doesn't tear down and it doesn't rip apart. And there's enough of that going on TV. I don't need to do that at work. So, you know, if someone is just down and I don't come out with some great Bible verse or, you know, like, be healed in the name of Jesus if you have a cold, I just go over and encourage people. And I just think that, you know, there's, you know, they just see that. So that's just what the gospel has done for me. And it's and I don't go to church, and I know I am the church, but I haven't found one that I feel comfortable in. We had gone to my son and I had gone to this church in it was probably about 6 or 7 years ago on Easter Sunday. So we decided it might be pretty safe going on Easter Sunday. It might not be too legalistic. And so I forget the name of it. It was Souls, S-O-U-L-S something. I don't know what the rest of it was, but we had gone. And, you know, the praise and worship was beautiful, and it started off. And then he said, oh, you know, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And everybody was like, amen, and we're clapping. And, you know, I jumped up, and I'm raising my hands and everything. And then we sit down, and he starts with his message. And you people who think that, you people who say that you're under God's grace. And I thought, uh-oh. And so he said a couple of the things that, you know, that you think you can live any way you want. And my son leans over and he goes, can we leave now? So, and I said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. So we just left. So it was, and he knew, you know, yeah, can we leave now? Like, he knew we're not staying, you know. And it, so I
that
really.
That is awesome. You left in the middle of an Easter Sunday service?
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, I can't do it. I can't sit in, I can't do it. It makes me ill. I just, you know, and we got up and left. We just, and I've done it several times. I don't, because most of my family, I love them to pieces, but most of them, they're Catholic, and I love them, you know, they're my family, but we just don't, discuss this, because they just think that I'm just like, and I don't care. Like, I know, I've heard Mike say on different tapes, he goes, you know, your family is worried about you. They think that you're, you know, I forget the exact terminology that he uses. He says, but you don't give a flip. You don't care what they think because it's okay. You know, I just don't even, you know, it's, they, you know, I get all these things, you know, that my brother sends me all kinds of stuff, and I don't ram grace down anybody's throat. They know how I feel. If they come to me and ask me something, I'll tell them, but I'm not going to email you all kinds of stuff. That's just not me, you know. I mean, we got up and left in the middle of the service, and I haven't found a church, you know, that
no,
I'm
you won't
with,
either.
So.
We've tried, no. And they're not out there, but there is fellowship, and there is a gathering of the minds of like-minded folks who are around the world. And we get together here every week. We're getting together in Houston next month. And there's folks just like you, Mary, out there. And but as far as a organized situation, it's just not out there. And I'm not sure that it's supposed to be, Michael.
Yeah, we don't, you know, it's, I've never encountered any groups or any belief system that has refrained from telling people not to attend here or attend there. In fact, we've done just the opposite to that. We encourage people, go and try it, you know, because there's something about the power of the gospel that I don't feel that I have to babysit people's belief systems. It's just like you and your son going in and sitting down. I mean, you didn't have to call Mike Williams and ask him, you know, is it okay to listen to this? And what we heard, was that okay? You knew it wasn't okay. Your mm-hmm. son knew it wasn't okay.
Yeah.
But we've never, in all of my years, I have never advocated that somebody leave a church. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we've done just the opposite at times. We've encouraged them to stay.
As long as they can take it, as long as they can stomach it.
Absolutely. Because I know that once you have an understanding of freedom, legalism just has no place. Your
yeah.
ability to discern, discernment, and I did a whole series of messages taking back that term from evangelical Christianity of discernment, and showed the ability to discern was the ability to know when you're hearing legalism or not, and that's what you have. You now have discernment.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul taught that you have to hear the gospel to have discernment. And we've got people running around discerning who's got a spirit of this and a spirit of that and a spirit of something else, and none of them have any discernment at all. Not the kind of discernment that Paul talked about, that you and your son demonstrated that you have when you got up and celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ by walking
yeah.
out on legalism.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better way you could have shown respect for the work of the cross. I can't think of a better way that you could have exercised discernment and freedom and worship and praise of God for the work of Jesus Christ than getting up and walking out on Easter Sunday. I'm glad you went. What a way to celebrate Easter. Walk out on legalism.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought, because at first I thought, what an opportunity for him to say, you know, it's Easter Sunday, it's a new beginning, you know, and God, you know, God has forgiven all, but, you know, and I thought when he first started off, but, you know, they always start off like that. You think it's going to be okay, and then they kind of, like, hit you in the side of the head, you know. He just said.
That's very true, man.
You know, but, you know.
And let me tell you this too. There's something that I want to do. I'm going to make a contribution tonight. You know, you're working very hard to convert those CDs to tape to send them to Annette. I didn't know she did not have a CD player, and I'm going to buy her a CD player and send it to her.
Oh, my gosh, she will go crazy, because I think John had one, and I don't know if it wasn't working, and she does, you know, she doesn't have an answering machine, because I know you had told me that you called her, and, you know, she doesn't
yes.
have an answering machine, but she does, so I convert everything and send it to her. Oh, that's wonderful, she'll go
oh,
crazy.
Honey, listen,
I'm not going to tell her, because I talk to her like twice a week, because she's my best friend, so I won't even.
But you got to do us a favor, though, Mary, email us her address.
Yes.
Oh,
her
definitely.
Her shipping address, okay?
And
all you
have
to do is send it to webcast@gospelrevolution.com.
It's right here. I have you on the screen. It's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Yeah, it's right
yeah.
here.
I will go out tomorrow. And this is not the ministry buying this for her out of the
Aww.
Funds that are coming in. I'm going to buy it for her personally. And
that's wonderful.
I mean, if that's all it takes for Annette to be able to hear these and for you to save you an untold number of hours.
Well, I don't mind
doing
it.
You can burn a CD to a CD and just, you know, in just a minute.
Or just better the CDs when you're done with them.
Yeah. And we've got to get her I know she's there alone, and I know
yeah.
since John passed away couple of years back that it's been very difficult for her, and
yeah.
so I'm just going to do that for her, and then
that's wonderful, that's great.
And then
I
you
never
can get and then you I mean it, this is how we produce this, it's on CD, and
mm-hmm.
We just can't tolerate somebody not having a CD player.
Well, just
well,
make sure Michael that they send or that the CD player has instructions with the player
when you get yes. it.
Yeah, because she's really, she'll call me up and she'll go, I don't know what's wrong with this stupid TV. You know, it's so funny. And I'll say, well, try this or call, because her son-in-law, I say, call Andrew and tell Andrew to come over and do this. But no, she's really, she goes, Mary, you know how I am when it comes to this electrical stuff. It drives me crazy. And John's not here and I can't ask him. And she really gets really frustrated. So
I'll make sure we get one that has a very, that's very simple to run, and you just push one button and that's it.
Well, if she can operate a cassette tape player, she'll eventually be
able
to
she can do
operate
it. Oh, that's
a CD
great.
Player, that's for sure.
That's great, because then if I want to just send her, get to run some of your series for her for Christmas, I can just send them to her and have to buy them and copy. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's great.
All right, Mayor. Well, we're going to continue with the pledge drive.
Okay, I want to do $25 a month.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you very much. All you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com and then click on donations, and then it'll give you the option for the different amounts, and it'll just automatically receive that each month for $25. And then, but email, when you email us her address, send us your address as well so that we can send you the thank you series, the ministry bringing relief series. That's our thank you gift. And then when you're done with that, you can just send it out to her.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Okay, great. That's a great idea.
So just go to the website, and you'll see, click on donations, and it'll take you, and it'll give you a monthly option of $25. Click on that, fill out the information that's on PayPal, and then that'll come through every month for us. And we really, really appreciate it. Well, thanks for calling.
Mary.
All right,
thank
you.
Stay in touch with us, okay?
Oh, I certainly will.
All right, Mary.
Okay, bye, guys.
Good night.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, there is Mary Karasik from Villarica, Georgia, with a $25 a month gift. So over 12 months, that's a $300 gift.
Yes, it is.
That is a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen, as we are a little over the top of the hour here. On the third night, the third pledge drive of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive. So let me total that up real quick. We are at a grand total of, for some reason my calculator keeps going off. It must have a devil in it. $2,586.15.
Well
on
our way
to
the 15,000.
But the thing we want, not only do we want to thank Mary, but we also want to encourage you that we've got about 25 minutes left to go in this evening's pledge drive. If you're listening on the archive, just go to gospelrevolution.com, make your best donation possible, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and let us know what you did. When we go offline here in about 25 minutes, we'll still have another, well, 6-plus days to go with the pledge drive. So every penny counts as we head towards $15,000. We're at $25,86.15. Now that line is available to you. Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your call. Let us hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We want to hear from you with any pledge, large or small. We've had pledges as small as $1 and as large as $300 in this pledge drive so far, and we're trying to get as many people participating as possible. We've had 18 people so far donate or pledge in this pledge drive, and what a blessing, Michael, it is to hear from Mary and just and her son, who discerned in the back seat of, well, I don't know if he was in the passenger seat or not, or the back seat, that even to have to be born again through any decision or work of one's own would be considered a work and would be legalistic.
Yeah, and that's a ninth grader, yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, and that's what I'm, the thing that is so consistent about this is the simplicity teaches you itself. Once you understand it is all this way and none of that way, it just teaches you itself. A ninth grader can say, well, if you have to be born again, isn't that a law? Hallelujah. You know, it's time somebody said it, you know. So, but and then she, I'm sure she was delighted that once that question came up, that we had an entire series on the subject, you must be born again. You know, she made one point that I that particularly caught my attention out of all the wonderful things that we got to listen to, and that is that she realized through the teaching of the gospel of peace that she had, and let me tell you, this is very important, but because a lot of people judge their relationship with God as being insufficient because they're going through a particular time where they don't feel peaceful. They don't feel peace. But she realized, after she heard the teaching on the gospel of peace, that she always has peace with God. That having the peace of God is not necessarily a state of a tranquil feeling, of feeling no problems around you. That the gospel of peace is that you're not going to have any difficulties that are induced by God. That's the gospel of peace. We have the peace of God all the time. We have the joy of the Lord all the time. And that joy is not us sitting around, you know, just, you know, looking like a bunch of drug-crazed, blitzed-out people, or acting as though, you know, somebody just told you there's a tragedy in your family and you're having to stand there saying, well, I've got perfect peace inside. That's not what it's all about. It's this peace that we have with God. It's the joy of the Lord that we have. And his joy was, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And the joy that was set before him was our righteousness, us ourselves, actually. And so many people judge the quality of their spirituality on conditions of their current condition of their heart. And that is not the measure of our spirituality. And thank God for all of the peaceful feelings and the joyful feelings that we have. But our spirituality is not measured by any experience at all on our part. It is measured by what we are not experiencing. We are not experiencing wrath from God. We are not experiencing displeasure from God. We're experiencing peace with God. We're experiencing that God, regardless, the car may not start. You may cuss the car and kick it. But still, God rejoices over you with great joy. You are viewed as absolutely perfect. You are accepted in the Beloved. And but the Christian community, and I know how many people who just absolutely are judge themselves so harshly and saying, well, I'm just not that spiritual. I don't feel peaceful. I don't feel joyful all the time. Forget it. That was a preconceived ideas that were placed on us and requirements that were replaced on the Christian community in so many churches. Joy is a wonderful thing, and peacefulness is a wonderful thing. But it's, and it ties back to the very same concept that finally, when I saw through this many years ago, about the song that we were singing, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And we'd stand up and sing, this is the day that the Lord has, and we'd jump up and down to prove in the song that this is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And that we were supposed, that was a daily verse. That was a daily verse that we had to measure up to. This is the day that the Lord, well, it's Monday, you know. This is the day the Lord has, it's Tuesday. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Excuse me?
I said it's hump day.
It's hump day. This is the day I will rejoice and be glad in. No. this is the day, is speaking of the day of the Lord in the context of those verses. This is the day that the Lord hath made. He's talking about the day of the cross. And regardless of what this day produces, even if I'm grieving over the loss of a loved one, if I've just been in an accident, or my bank account has just gone into overdraft, or whatever it may be, I still have a day I can rejoice in and be glad that a day took place 2,000 years ago that secured absolute peace with God, absolute peace with God, the cessation of all hostilities between God and the human race, and me in particular, because that's the one that matters at the moment. But it only applies to me. And see, and there again, you know, Glenn, even with that, you see, it can only apply to me if it applies to everybody. Nobody, as much as we try to get people to believe that they're just special to God, they're just special to God, you're going to lose that feeling based on experience. The only way you can really feel special to God is know that everybody stands in the very same position in the eyes of God. This is the most relevant way of thinking and secure way of thinking, stable way of thinking, productive way of thinking that a human being could possibly embrace.
Right.
Because there is something that is constant no matter what. There is a unity amongst us no matter what. There is something about us that's all alike no matter what, just like that we all have skin and blood coursing through our body. We're all righteous and holy in the eyes of God. This is the peace of God. You all have it. Everyone that's in the sound of my voice and everyone that's not. Everyone has the peace of God.
I've got a peaceful, easy feeling.
And it's nice to get that occasionally, too.
Yeah, you know, one thing that Mary said was that she doesn't use the term saved anymore, but that's a biblical term, and we have, what did you say?
We have secured it back again.
Terms from evangelical Christianity?
Yes, we have secured it.
We have reclaimed it.
Reclaimed it.
Salvation is a true experience, and I think that you can have a more sense of oneness and that peaceful, easy feeling, the sense of joy of the Lord, consistently, the more that you meditate upon this truth, that you and everyone else have been made righteous with God. And that is what we do, ladies and gentlemen. That is our purpose. That is our goal. That is our joy. That is what we do. That is our ministry, is that we deliver this message of God's oneness with you and all humanity. The hostilities are over. The peace treaty was signed over 2,000 years ago in the blood of Christ, and there's nothing that you or anybody else can do to reestablish hostilities with the Almighty. This is why we come to you each quarter and ask you to support this effort. If it is in your heart to do it and you want to do it, we want to hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. That is the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive 2009 toll-free hotline, 1-800-436-3260. Still about 15 minutes left. You can hear what Mary's contribution did for us and did for you. And so now if you're listening live and it's a quarter after the hour of 10 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, we want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. We're asking you to pick up the phone. And the other thing that we're asking is that everybody who is part of the Gospel Revolution participate on some level in this pledge drive. If it's $1, $5, $10, $25, $100, a monthly donation, a one-time gift, it doesn't make a difference. We're trying to get a maximum number of people participating in this effort. That's what it's going to take. And that's what we're asking for. For gifts of $100 or more, as Mary did, you will see free and postage paid the brand new teaching series, three CDs on ministry bringing relief that will come to you free and postage paid. 1-800-436-3260. Sean is still waiting to take your call. We'll get you online quickly. We want to hear from you. Not only do we want to hear your contribution financially, but we want to hear your contribution as far as insight into this whole thing. We want to hear your experience. We want to hear your voice. 1-800-436-3260. We are at $2,586.15 towards $15,000. We have the rest of the week to go as we focus on raising the operating budget, not only for the Gospel Revolution and our ongoing expenses, but, Michael, we've got the convention coming up just in 3 weeks, 21 days. People will be gathering from all over the world coming to Houston for the second Gospel Revolution Convention. Hebrews Revealed. You're going to be teaching the entire series or the entire book of Hebrews in a series, and I know you're getting ready for that. What are some of the things you've been seeing or thinking about vis-a-vis Hebrews that you're going to be sharing with the beautiful humans?
Well, of course, the kind of this unspoken subtitle is Debunking Hebrews. And because the thing that I want people to walk away with from this series, whether they're sitting and listening live or on the CDs, I want them to see a consistency and the reality of the style of teaching that Paul did is so pervasive through this entire book. There are so many places out and verses out of context that from the book of Hebrews that the church has used against people, for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it is going to be a great joy to be able to go into Hebrews, simply read it in context, let it speak for itself, and show that none of those threats that the evangelical community has held over the population of the world, especially those who are participating in church, that they're just not true. That none of the things,
give an None example, of, just so the folks know what you're talking about.
Well, number one is that you can that once you have come to the knowledge of the truth, and you do something you used to do before, you now have no place to get right with God. That Hebrews teaches that if you sin one single time after you have come to the knowledge of the truth, then there is no way, number one, that you can sin, and that it teaches that you can sin, and that it teaches that if you do, that you are separated from God, and there is no way to repair that. That's what out of context this says. And also the issue of chastening and scourging. What a horrific thing for people to be introduced to a loving God by a good missionary and then have to learn that for your good, God's going to be beating up on you the rest of your life. And just for your good, though, just because he loves you, and that has covered the range from your children dying, you having cancer, amputations, accidents, poverty, and everything else that you could possibly think of has been listed by the church as chastenings of the Lord. It is not true, and you'll be delighted to see that in context, that it is quite contrary to the absolute opposite of that.
This is Glenn Klein online. That's Michael Williams, Gospel Revolution, Fall Pledge Drive 2009. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got a few more minutes. We want to hear from you. We cannot encourage you enough to get online. We will go overtime if and when somebody picks up the phone and call. We heard from Mary from Georgia. What a great contribution she made, not only towards Pledge Drive, but just on this radio webcast that is heard all over the world. and we want to hear your contribution tonight. 1-800-436-3260. There's still time for you to get in. And if you are listening on the archive, which of course we know most people do around the world, listen at your convenience. We need to hear from you this week. Just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and let us know what you will do towards our goal of $15,000 for these 21 days. And then just go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and then just go follow the procedure. Either make your monthly pledge there, filling out the information on PayPal, or your one-time gift. For gifts totaling $100 or more, you're going to receive the teaching series, Ministry Bringing Relief, that Michael did in Canada. 1-800-436-3260. I was so infuriated when I was watching Rodney Howard Brown, and people often ask me, why do you watch this garbage on Christian television? And I just say, well, it's just opposition research, you know. What you should do, you should see what the opponents are saying. And just like Mary and her son walked out of the Easter Sunday service, I thank God for a remote control where I can quickly turn things off when it just gets too
Once it gets too bad.
Often it does, but you get a good sense of where they're going. But Rodney Howard Brown was teaching, Michael, that God never lets you down. And he was talking about the circumstances of life, a physical healing, a financial thing, a relational thing, marriage, whatever it is. And we know that Rodney Howard Brown, in praying to God that he would heal Rodney Howard Brown's daughter, she died.
Yeah.
And here he has the audacity to stand up before a worldwide audience and say that God will always affirmatively answer your prayers as you pray in faith.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed for him. I was angered, and I was embarrassed, and I felt bad for him. The amount of turmoil and emotional tumult that must be going on in his soul, having to stand up there and share an unadulterated lie, must be overwhelming.
Yeah, it is. You hardly know what to feel for them or about them when they make, you know, such comments, especially knowing, even if you didn't know about his daughter, you know that his comments just are not true. There are preachers in the evangelical community that will say that God always answers prayer, and it may be no, but to say that God always answers to the affirmative if you are praying in faith, that's just craziness. It's nothing short of craziness. We don't have to apologize for that view because it's craziness. I realize, and I remember being there, and I remember saying and affirming such things, but you have to say it. But it's a delusional state of mind. There is no doubt about it. It is a delusional state of mind. What's his motivation? I certainly couldn't tell you what his motivation is. Maybe it's his own desperation. Maybe it's money. Maybe it is just absolute bondage so deep you can't see out. So, it's horrific. The comments that are coming from pulpits around the world, every Sunday morning for sure, the planet can't tolerate. It's supposed to be all of these places where these wonderful messages are coming out. And even when you get into the most positive of situations, who are condemned by the rest of the church, such as Joel Osteen, even in saying it as positively as you can, still Joel places all of these conditions and affirms that God will answer your prayers and that God will always come through for you, and it starts giving us the reasons now why. I mean, it started out so much better than that, but you can't keep talking without the revelation of the gospel and not talk yourself into all these legalistic statements and of the ones that are out there as far as blatant legalism. I mean, as Joel started out in ministry, there was nobody that I knew of that was less legalistic than him. And then by closing out every service with giving people the opportunity to do something the Bible says nothing about, we want to give you the we never close out a service without giving you the opportunity to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior.
He starts out every Vacata message, that's Yiddish, ladies and gentlemen, for full of crap, message, by standing up and holding up his Bible. And in unison, the 20,000 people in that stadium where he has his church now, they all stand up, but they hold up that Bible. It's like a Hitler youth rally, for God's sake.
Yep.
This is my Bible. It says what I am, and I am what it... I mean, my God, what idiocy.
And that it is the Word of God.
And it's the Word of God, and I will receive it by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that is full of crap.
Yep.
It is. It could not be any... Even though it's presented in a very pleasant...
It's packaged much nicer. I agree.
Uplifting way.
It is packaged much better. Yeah.
It is antichrist. It is completely contrary to the actual Word of God, which is salvation, which is Yeshua, which is Jesus. Jesus never made the claim, Michael, that Genesis through Revelation was the Word of God. Not one disciple did, not the Lord himself, not even the Bible itself. You would think somewhere in that entire text, somewhere in there one time, it would say that Genesis through Revelation was the Word of God. It's not in there. I challenge anybody. I will pay somebody $1 million if they can prove in the Bible that Genesis through Revelation is the Bible, is the Word of God, is the Holy Writ. It's not in there. And just because it's a religious tradition, just because there was a political decision, Mary was talking earlier about her former Catholic faith, it was a Catholic religious political decision on what would be considered Holy Scripture.
Yeah.
And it's just been an assumption that has been made throughout the millennia that the Protestants and now the Messianic Jews and the Word of Faith people have assumed that there is something that is on par with what Jesus himself called the Holy Scriptures and the disciples themselves called the Word of God, which is the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets, that all that stuff that's in the Bible is equal to the predictions and the prophecies of the coming Redeemer. It's not in there, Mikey.
Not only is that not in there, we can tell you what is in there. It does tell us, and no place does it say anything that any of it is the Word of God. But we do know that at least if we can take Jesus' word for it and all of the disciples, we do know what part of it is Scripture. While we find absolutely nothing that says that from cover to cover is Scripture, we do know what is Scripture. And the Bible tells us what Scripture is. Isn't that bizarre? Isn't it just bizarre that the Bible tells us what Scripture is and the entire Christian world rejects what the Bible says Scripture is? That's off the chain. The entire Christian world, who claims that the Bible is the Word of God, rejects what the Bible says Scripture is.
And rejects what it says the Word of God is.
Absolutely.
The Word of God is not the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Yes.
The Word of God is Yeshua. Is the Word. Here's the Word. Salvation.
Yep.
The Word is righteousness. The Word is perfection in the sight of God that took your place on the altar of God. There is no more altar of God. It was done away with at the cross. That was the altar. That all that stuff, all the foreshadowing, Michael, of the temple and the sacrifices and the incense and the table of showbread and all that stuff was just to foreshadow the ultimate altar of God at the cross at a place called Golgotha. It's Golgotha's secret.
The church
calls us heretics.
Yeah.
And
there's no more consistent
message.
Means. Excuse me?
Believing for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, one thing I want to, we've gone over, one thing I want to emphasize again as far as the pledge drive is concerned. I think Mary was our 18th contributor, Glenn.
Right.
And now we really should have at least a minimum of 30 contributors. So if we've set a goal of 15,000, you know, we still have a week left in the pledge drive, and let's have at least a minimum of 30 contributors. To participate in reaching this goal.
Well, we need 12 more disciples then.
Yes, we need, and it's just really, that's been the thing in my heart. I just really want to emphasize. And you've done so well at letting people know. We don't care if it's a dollar or $5. We want to see how many people we can get to participate in this pledge drive. We've got a week left. Come on, folks. It's not like we're asking you to do anything financially burdensome to anyone out there, to not a single person. But participate. Please participate. If we've ever said anything you think somebody else ought to hear, give a dollar. Let us just add your name to the roster. Let us just see how many people are out there that will say, you know, we're on board. And even if we don't have money, here's a dollar. Because even people who don't have money have a dollar.
Yeah.
And they can give it.
It's amazing to me that anybody could receive our emails or the newsletter, hard copy newsletter is going to be going out, or listen to this show and hear the appeal. That we're just trying, now our goal is 30 people, okay? We're at 18 people. We need 12 more people. Even if it was just to raise 12 more dollars, that would get us to 30 people, a buck apiece. It is unbelievable for me to think that people would listen to this show and gain the kind of sense of oneness and righteousness and perfection in Christ that this show shares week after week to hear the kind of heart that Mary portrayed from Georgia, sending, copying the CDs, sending them up to New Jersey, and not get online at gospelrevolution.com and at least contribute a buck. I can't imagine how people do that. But you know what? Some people do. But don't let you be one of them.
Don't
get
be
online,
one of them.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Jeez.
What'd you say?
I said, yes, don't be one of them. Jeez.
Jeez and please participate. And let us hear from you this week. Just simply go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and then just do whatever you want to do. Do your best. Do what's in your heart. Participate. And then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. This week, let us know what you did so we can count you not only towards the goal of 15,000, but the goal of getting 30 people from around the world. We know that more than that listen to this show every week. And obviously during any length of time, during the course of a month, we have people in the hundreds, perhaps in the thousands, listening from around the globe.
To the
archive. And we need your help. Please do not hear this in any condemning way at all, but we're just being frank with you. When we
it's like, wake up. Wake up. We're in this together. This is not our effort. This is the effort of all of those who have received the gospel to try to get it out to other people. At least let us know that your name is on the roll here with us to just to say we participate. We're going to participate regardless at the amount. And, you know, we've honored the dollar gifts also.
No doubt. And the effort that we're making, ladies and gentlemen, all you have to do to validate your participation is turn on Christian television. If you have any doubt how necessary this effort is, just turn on any Christian television show anytime, day or night, and wait till they get done singing. Sometimes you'll even hear the condemnation and the legalism in the songs they're singing. But just wait. I don't care if it's Joel Osteen or Benny Hinn or Rodney Howard Brown or John Hagee or Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker that, believe it or not, are still on television. That's how powerful legalism is, that those guys could recoup from where they were and regather the financial strength to go on worldwide satellite television.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, Michael, what we could do if we were on satellite TV every week?
Man, it's in my dreams and my hopes, yes, but...
Well, we're thankful to be on World Wide Web Internet Radio, but we have hopes and aspirations. So let us hear from you this week. And we will thank you for gifts of $100 or more with the thank you CD. Ministry bringing relief. Hey, there's still time to get a plan to come to the Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston, November 12th through the 15th. Just go on the website and click on the information about the convention. It's Hebrews Revealed, Hebrews Debunked. And Michael has also invited anybody to call him at home, not just about the convention, but about any issue that you have or you just want to say hi. That number is 281-955-1910. 281-955-1910. All right, so 3 weeks, my reservations are made. 3 weeks from today, Michael, we will be gathered in Houston, webcasting
wow.
live from Houston, Texas.
Wow,
the
wow.
night before the second annual Gospel Revolution Convention.
Now that's
and
a wake-up call.
That's incredible in and of itself. We know we've got people coming from around the globe again, but there's still room for you. So let us hear from you with any questions or comments, and you can call Michael directly, right?
Absolutely. It's right here at the home in Houston.
That number again is 281-955-1910. Well, right now we stand at $2,586.15 with Mary's gift from Georgia tonight. That's where we're going offline. But as Michael has said, we've got an entire week to go. So let us hear from you this week. Participate. We're going to get to 30 people. We're going to get to that 15,000, and we hope to see you in Houston, Texas next month. We want to thank Sean O'Halloran for engineering, producing, and being our coordinator of the dollar exchange rate between the United States and the great country of Australia. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying shalom, everybody.